This podcast is supported by Fourth Glade Natural Pet Food. Fourth Glade is the founding partner of the National Trust's Dogs Welcome Project, improving dog-friendly places for you and your four-legged friend to explore and enjoy together. From dedicated off-lead open spaces to washdown areas and pet-friendly holiday cottages. Start planning your best walkies with the National Trust Dogs Welcome Project, supported by Fourth Glade. Search for Dogs Welcome Project Fourth Glade online.
Hello and welcome to the National Trust podcast. I'm Claire Hickenbotham, a podcast producer at the National Trust and a dog owner. As I head out on my own little dog walk today, wrapped up against the cold, I'm going to be transporting you back to a sunny summer day in 2023 to a packed beach on the Gower Peninsula in Wales. It's where I met a rather exceptional dog owner with an incredible story who was nearing the end of a very long and life-changing walk.
Come on in. Good boy then. Come on, this way.
I'm in Oxfordshire, where I live. Just about to take my two-year-old black lab for a walk.
Good boy then. Come on, this way.
And this walk I come on at Coleshill is probably one of my favourites. There's some really fascinating history here. I'm just walking past a replica underground bunker used to tell the story of how this site was once home to a secret training base during the Second World War. But through a second gate, and it's the landscape that takes over here.
Come on then.
I can see the Ridgeway National Trail, and I can see the Uffington White Horse, another National Trust site, and they're probably about 5 or 6 miles away. I walk here with Buddy maybe a couple of times a week, and it's the views and the space here that really give me a feeling that the world is bigger than my four walls. And it kind of helps put some of life's worries that probably most of us have at some point back into perspective. Now as we head up the hill, the wind blowing the cobwebs and some of life's worries away, I know for around the next 40, 45 minutes, I've got no stress, I've got no emails, I've got no errands to run. Now imagine that scenario, but stretched out over 6 years.
Christian Lewis is a man whose story you may be familiar with. Weighed down with life, he was at his lowest ebb, struggling to make sense of it all. An army veteran and a single father, he'd been through the mill and couldn't see a way forward. Then one day, staring out to sea, he had an epiphany and knew exactly what he needed to do. Walk the entire coast of the country. And so he set off. Alone. But it wasn't too long until he had a trusted companion by his side. I met him and his dog Jet as he headed across Langland Bay in Wales towards the finish point at Rhosyllie, the beach looked after by the National Trust, where it all started.
So we've just arrived at Langland Bay. Can't yet see the sea because there are a multitude of very cute little green beach huts, but this is where I'm meeting Christian. And it's one of those nice occasions where I know who I'm meeting because I've been following him on social media and I'm pretty sure that I'm going to recognise him. Just getting my first glimpse of some rocks on the sand. Looks like the tide's out at the minute. And a bit more of Wales across the bay in the background by the looks of it. There's a few school trips hanging out on the beach, so I'm going to head up. I think I can see him. I see the dog. Jet, I think the dog is called. So I'll head up and see if that's him.
The man I knew from Instagram was smiley and confident and wearing what anyone attempting to walk the coast of the UK would wear, a kilt and flip-flops.
You must be Christian.
Hello, Claire. How are you? Hi. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too.
And you
this
too.
Is Jet.
This is Jet, yes, yeah, my girl.
Hello, Jet. You are beautiful.
I know. No one wants to say hello to me. It's
no,
all about her.
It's all about the dog. And she's a lurcher?
Yeah, she's a lurcher. She's crossed between a greyhound Saluki.
Greyhound Saluki, yeah, so what's that then?
Saluki, they're kind of sort of like a similar size to a greyhound, but they're much fluffier, they've got much bigger ears. That's where she gets her markings from, I would assume.
She's white with a bit of brown on her.
Yes.
So is she Jet because of her speed?
I think it would probably be the irony of the air. She's how fast she was, I wouldn't say so much anymore. She's getting on now.
So here I was chatting to a seemingly very content guy and his much-loved dog on a sunny day, about to join him on a small stretch of his 19,000-kilometre journey around the whole of the UK coast that's earned him thousands of followers and thousands of pounds for charity.
I'm feeling very honoured that you're letting me join you on a bit of your walk. Do you remember the date you started?
Yeah, that was the 1st of August 2017, so just under 6 years. To be honest with you, it's become more of a lifestyle now rather than the actual thinking of it as a walk in itself.
So 2017, you stood on, I think, Rasili Beach.
Well, Llangenneth, yeah. It's the same beach, just a bit further down Llangenneth is.
And you set off, and what did you have to your name at that point?
So I had about a tenner, 2 days' worth of rations, a bottle of water, absolutely no plan whatsoever. The outdoors was my place. That's where I wanted to be. And the wilder it became, the happier I became. So I just needed to go out and press the reset button.
Christian had had a pretty rough time. He'd served in the British Army, and then once he'd left, found returning to civilian life pretty challenging. And then there was another battle to overcome.
It sounds like life is good and a very different place to where you were pre-6 years ago.
I think the best thing that ever happened to me was that I just had this kind of mental breakdown, if you like.
You're a veteran?
Yeah.
So what was your journey to the point of being in this state of mind?
Well, I was in the parachute regiment and I left the paras back in 2004. And I was in a horrible custody battle with my daughter at the time. I wanted to have custody with her. And so I was a single parent for 10 years after that. I don't even think it was the parenting that I found hard. You know, I had a good relationship with Caitlin. I just wasn't very good at doing letters and having to go down to civic centres to sign forms. And I was getting chased up for stuff that I didn't want, and it ended up becoming my biggest downfall. After about 8 years or so, I started to head down on this slippery slope of anxiety, and I just think I was bummed out. Was so unhappy with the way that I was living life. I didn't want to be in one place. I felt like a caged animal. Yeah, just basically the opposite person of what I was.
It was at this point he knew he had to do something drastic. And one day, as he sat on his local beach, Llangenneth, it all became very clear all of a sudden.
I'd spent, just like so many people, too many years of my life working for people in jobs that I didn't like. Well, that's not life, is it? Where's the joy in that? I just can't see it. I knew that if I didn't do something now, then life's just not going to be good. So you've got to change it, mate. You've got to do something drastic. And I love being in a tent. I love being outside. So let's go.
And so he walked and walked alone up along the rest of the Welsh coast, around Northern Ireland, the northwest of England, to Scotland. And it's there he made a friend who would walk the rest of the journey with him.
I got Jet about 9 months into the journey on the west coast of Scotland in a place called Irvine. She belonged to a family that were unable to have her anymore. And I thought, you know what, this is a really good time for me. When Jet and I first interacted, if we just connected immediately, she just looked at me as if to say, hello, pal. And then that was it. She was with me from that moment.
What did Jet bring to the experience then?
Oh, I mean, everything. It doesn't matter how good or bad a day I've had. I give this little one a kutch, and the way she just looks at me, that feeling that you get, to me, they're everything. You know, when I were walking the really lonely parts and I was on my own so much, watching Jet working her way through the wilderness and doing her thing and sniffing out deer paths for us, it was just such a joy. Sometimes we were pinned down in a tent for days at a time due to weather. Had I been on my own, I can imagine I would have probably gone crazy. But just having her in there in the middle of storms, halfway up a mountain, and she's upside down, like playing and doing her thing, she's just been a pure joy from the second I had her.
There is increasing evidence that human-animal interaction can have a positive impact on human health, particularly mental health. And we have studied dogs much more frequently so far than we have other species. My name is Elena Rutschen. I'm a reader in health services research at the University of York, and I specialize in human-animal interaction. Within this field of study, we have found that, for example, for war veterans or people who are homeless, the bond can be incredibly important. Some of the hypotheses include the theory that they can act as social catalysts. They might be able to elicit positive emotion. And I think in some groups, they provide meaning for people to get up in the morning, to have their dog as somebody that doesn't judge them, that always provides unconditional affection and just takes them as they are. We often hear that this dog, you know, is my life and I don't know what I'd do without him. I think in terms of Christian's story, it's very clear that the reciprocal dynamic was incredibly powerful. They might have found each other at the right time, in the right space, and gone off on this incredible adventure together.
With Jet now in tow, Christian tackled the rest of Scotland. He fell in love with the country and began more than ever to feel on top of things again.
Imagine, it's Christmas Eve, you're in the Isle of Harris. Someone says, I've got a boat, do you want to go over to this tiny little island to go and spend Christmas? Totally uninhabited. If you could picture a desert island, this was what it was like, beautiful white sands, nobody there. The moon perfectly in line with my beautiful fire. And it was those kind of moments where all of the hard work that you put during a day to do the walking, where you just think, do you know what? This is why I started this. Being up in the middle of a mountain on my 39th birthday, just watching golden eagles, sea eagles, just totally on my own, absolutely no phone signal. You know, that's where, if more people did that were having troubles, certainly when it comes to mental health, you'd see a lot more people up there. I tell you that for free.
And beyond the mountains, there was always the sea, on his left as he walked, but always there. It was, for him, another huge part of what made him feel himself again.
I genuinely believe that human beings have a natural attraction to the sea or water in general because, you know, you sit there on a calm evening and it's just listening to it. I don't think there's much out there that's more relaxing than that. It certainly is something that I never want to be away from. I think the sea just offers so much. You can bath in it, you can swim in it, you can have fun in it. There's just something about it that I think we're naturally drawn to anyway.
And for Christian, if the weather was bad, it was even better for him.
I love the ferocity of huge storms and raging seas and the danger of it all because it reminds you of just how insignificant you are. You know, you drop yourself into the middle of nowhere in the middle of a storm, you will never feel so alive. You know, I think that's why adrenaline junkies run off what they do because it's those moments where you're so petrified and so scared that your senses are at their height. You're not thinking about depths. You're not thinking about where we're going to live next or anything like this. It's just where you are at that moment in time and how do you survive this. It's just like surfing when you catch the wave. You generally don't think about anything else because you're just having that moment. And the more of those you can find, I think the more at peace you kind of become.
In the modern world, there's a battle for attention. We're bombarded at times with media and advertisements. They're designed to capture our attention, and sometimes we can forget that nature is inherently very good for us. I'm Miles Richardson, Professor of Human Factors and Nature Connectedness, and I led the Nature Connection Research for the National Trust. Nature connectedness is a term we use to describe someone's relationship with nature. And our sensory systems are designed to accept the sounds and sights. And that has been found to be calming to our nervous system. And it can start to overcome the effects of threat and anxiety. To improve nature connection and to improve our mental well-being, we need to engage and notice the natural world, and walking, as Christian found, is a great way to do that. Your focus has to be the stimuli of the natural world that are around you. The sound of the waves, the wildflowers that might be present. A close connection with nature isn't just about feeling good, it can help us function well and bring a deeper benefit to our mental health and mental well-being.
Put back together by the relationship with Jet and the power of being out in nature, Christian carried on with his walk. But he wasn't finished yet. In fact, there were two more very big life-changing moments sitting on the horizon.
Only a month back on the mainland, yeah, that's when I met Kate. She came walking down the bottom of some cliffs where I'd been camping. Yeah, we just said hello and had a brief encounter.
So Kate was also, I don't know whether to use the word, somebody you picked up on the walk.
These stragglers, mate, I tell you.
I don't know if it's polite enough to Kate, no, who I've not met.
She was on her own little solo adventure doing the North Coast 500, and then she disappeared. And then after about 40 minutes or so, she came back down with her tent, two cans of Tennent's and some fish and chips, and just said, look, it's starting to get dark. You know, I trust you. Do you mind if I come and camp next to you for the evening? So I was like, yeah, go for it. And we stayed up to about 3 a.m, just chatting. I was really gutted to see her go the next morning. Yeah, so I knew something, definitely. We swapped numbers, kept in touch religiously for about 6 weeks, and then Kate went on holiday to Afghanistan to go climb some mountains, came back and just said, look, can I come and join you? And then that was it. Yeah, she's
been with me ever since. So how fast Kate walked then?
So she has walked from the north, pretty much the very northeast tip of Scotland, back to Swansea. So a good few thousand miles. She's done amazing. Straight out into a Scottish winter as well, and into the second lockdown.
It sounds like you're the perfect match for one another.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah, definitely.
So perfect, in fact, that...
We knew that we wanted to have a kid. So we just said, look, why not now?
And so baby Magnus came along as Christian and Kate walked down the east coast of England.
Kate had about 2 months where we just kind of sat in a yurt and just, you know, let her recover a bit. Then we just got straight back on with it. So Magnus has never known anything apart from living outside. And he's just such a happy little kid.
What an incredible start to life.
I know, mate. I wish I'd have had that. I really, really do. He's 1 year, 2 months now. And you can literally sit that boy by a little bush where the leaves are shaking and he'll just sit there for hours because it's all he's ever known, you know. He really does switch on to it all.
Yeah, that's incredible. And presumably he's in a rucksack on your back, is he? Is that how you do it?
That's right. Yeah.
And he gets on well with Jet?
Yeah, poor thing, Jet. You know, he's at that sort of age now where he just wants to grab everything. So as Jet slowly slips into retirement, there is a little bit of torture here and there with the grabbing of the ears. But she's so patient, you know. She accepted Magnus so well. There was just no jealousy. As long as Jet's next to me, she doesn't care. As simple as that.
Life at this point is lived out in a camper van, with Christian often going ahead to cover the miles on his own, leaving his family in the van, before heading back to collect them all and move on to the new start point. But there's one family member who's front of the queue for those daily reunions.
If I've been out walking during the day, I open that van and it's Jet. I've got Kate and Magnus now, obviously. You know, sorry, you're going to have to wait. How's my girl?
Yeah.
And it was at this point, as we headed back to the now even busier beach to find water for Jet and drinks for us, we admitted between us that we probably talked to our dogs more than we talked to our people.
One of the things I found surprised me, you know, as a dog owner, how much I talk to the dogs.
Oh,
if
yeah.
It's another human.
And they don't talk back. It's brilliant. It's absolutely perfect. No, but you do, you know. And you know, I never feel like she doesn't understand. I never feel like she doesn't get what I'm saying, and she always listens. That's what's nice. Always listens. Company, a wayfinder, a friend more than anything. I just don't even class myself as a dog owner. We've crossed paths, we become friends. She just happens to not be able to speak. And, you know, when she needs something, I just need to provide that for her. We're just best buds, but I'm the one who has to give her the food. That's all it is. I'd do anything for this one, mate. People have often asked me, would you ever quit this walk? And I would say no. I wouldn't even dream of it. The only time I would is if she physically couldn't do anything anymore. That was the only time I would have stopped this, but I wouldn't have done it for anyone else.
Several months after meeting Christian, I wanted to catch up and see how everyone was.
Hello.
Hi, it's Claire from the National Trust.
Hi, Claire. How are you? Okay.
I'm feeling like I might have woken you up, or is Magnus sleeping?
Yeah, Magnus is just sleeping next to me. He is.
I thought it might be that. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Yeah, I'm really good. Really good.
I just wanted to catch up with you, really, because it's been a few months since I met you. And when I met you, you hadn't actually finished the walk. So I just wanted to see how it all went.
Yeah, it's surreal, to be honest with you. I think it's still trying to sink in that we've actually finished it, if I'm honest. The ending was just incredible. It really, really was.
And I gather that you have some sad news about Jet.
Yeah, she's not good. She's not good at all. So, yeah, within the next month, I'm sad to say that... yeah, that'll be that.
She did so much for you, didn't she?
And oh, yeah, of course.
Did that amazing walk as well.
that's a dog that deserves a statue, which I think is your plan, isn't it?
Yes, indeed. Obviously, she helped me and she did the walk, which was amazing. But also, she kind of dictated the pace of the walk. And, you know, that's how I met Kate. If I hadn't have had Jet, I wouldn't have had the family that I have now. So I've got her to thank for that. So, yeah, in every aspect of her life and her mind, she's helped me. Yeah, I'm just so lucky to have had her, basically. There's no doubt about it.
Absolutely. Well, look, thank you so much for chatting to me. And
my pleasure.
Good luck. Can you give Jet a kutch from me?
Of course I will. Thank you ever so much. It's nice to chat with you.
Nice to talk to you, Christian.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.
Come on then, buddy. Let's go. All clear.
Just about finishing up my walk with my best bud, Buddy, at Coles Hill. Christian's story is incredible. To go from rock bottom to where he is now is such a story of triumph. And yes, while his circumstances and his solution were quite extreme, I really hope that in listening to this podcast, you can either come away thinking, what an incredible bloke, what an incredible family, what an amazing story. Or you've listened thinking, I know that feeling. Thank God it's not just me that feels like that. Because that can be the worst of it when you're feeling low or feeling anxious or depressed. You feel like you're the only person who feels like that. So I hope that in listening to this podcast, that you feel like there are brighter days ahead. And maybe you've just listened to this podcast thinking how ace dogs are. But we knew that anyway.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the National Trust podcast. There's lots of help available on the Mind website, the mental health charity, if some of what Christian had been through resonated with you, and you can find a link in our show notes. And if you've been inspired by Christian's story and want to read more about him, there's lots of articles on the SAFA website, the armed forces charity he was raising money for. For more information, you can follow the links on this episode's show notes, where you can also find advice about taking your dog to National Trust places. If you've enjoyed this podcast, keep listening for brand new episodes of National Trust Podcasts released twice a month. And don't forget to follow and review us on your favourite podcast app or head to nationaltrust.org/podcasts. For now, from me, Claire Hickenbotham, goodbye.
This podcast is supported by Fourth Glade Natural Pet Food, founding partners of the National Trust's Dogs Welcome Project. Bounding on a beach, playing in parkland, or wandering through woodland. Discover the most dog-friendly places cared for by the National Trust with the Dogs Welcome Project and find your favourite place for walkies together. Search for Dogs Welcome Project, Fourth Glade, online.